So, I mean, you know, we've totally changed the face of our business in these past few weeks.
Welcome to the AMCO Podcast, Episode 1. We're here today with American Master Chefs Jason Hall, Anthony Seda, and Gerald Ford in association with the South Bend Equipment Company.
Hi, my name is Jason Hall. I'm the president of AMCO, or the American Master Chefs Order. Some history on AMCO. It was formed in 2014 by a group of master chefs, including Bill Franklin, who spearheaded this concept. The idea was to look at the brand, see how we can further develop it and develop the exam going forward to meet ever-changing needs within the industry, to offer a coming together of our guild once you've passed the exam on the other side, and then also to start to develop the training and support needed for candidates as they approach the exam. Our mission is to promote, sustain, and perfect our craft, all while identifying and supporting and inspiring the next generation of candidates as they progress towards becoming an American Master Chef. You can reach us and see more information on our website at AmericanMasterChefsOrder.org. Thank you.
Here to talk about the state of the restaurant business, the future of our food service business, and prevention during the coronavirus.
So, I really feel that it's really good for us, you know, we master chefs, to get together and give our areas of expertise that we have gained over the years, and then sharing our wisdom with, you know, with our fellow chefs. I think it would be extremely important, and that's why this podcast, number one, that we're putting together, I feel it's going to be very helpful to our colleagues.
There is no better time for us to come together as an industry, that's for sure. Chef Hall, what's your take, overall take, on the state of the industry right now?
The overall take is, we're in a period of massive transition, of a lot of concern within the industry of, are we going to reopen? When are we going to reopen? Can we retain our employees and staff? And then how are we going to rebuild all of this on the other side of this this terrible tragedy? I think that, from a lot of different perspectives, not only are we trying to, you know, keep staff on and keep restaurants open in some sort of capacity as far as to-goes and pickups, just to keep food out there and to keep people employed in some way, state, or form. But also the concern will be on the other side of this is the rehiring, the finding of staff, the retraining of staff. And that could be, in some situations, a long period of transition to get back to running and at a normal speed. So there's a lot of uncertainty from a lot of different angles and directions. Can the food supply companies support a flood of all the restaurants reopening at the same time, if that's the way it were to happen? Or in some situations, if certain areas are going to open before others, how long is it going to take to get those places up and running? If that's the case, and we have certain places that open prior to others, do we have to worry about people coming from 20, 30 miles away to sit down at a restaurant that is in a zone that is not free and clear to be out and open and to the public? And how does that even start to get moderated? So there's a lot of questions that we kind of wanted to go through today and to talk about, really sanitation and what that looks like now, and how we stay safe through this and how we transition into the future.
Definitely keys in a very complicated conversation in today's world. So the reality is roughly 16.8 million hospitality workers are going to be affected by this. If you don't live on the coasts, it's definitely going to be a shockwave that's slowly but surely, if it hasn't already, going to hit you in some way, shape, or form throughout the country. You know, and the reality is that small restaurants everywhere are trying to figure out, you know, how to pay bills, how to pay staff, how to pay, you know, benefits. And I think there's some things that we can do right off the get-go, or there's some ideas that, you know, are really, you know, having some traction and gaining some success out there in cities like New York and cities like Los Angeles, in cities all over the U.S. that are you know, doing well. And I think, you know, on Instagram and Facebook, we're starting to see a lot of restaurants doing curbside carryout and in-home delivery. And yeah, so I guess that leads me to another question is, Chef Sato, what are some of your thoughts and I guess some of the things that people should be really cautious of, you know, while they're, you know, either purchasing, you know, from a restaurant doing carryout or delivery, or as a business owner or as a professional, you know, what are some of the things that they can do to ensure, you know, I guess success is the word I would use, success in the guideline in the, under the pretense of keeping people healthy and serving wholesome food.
Well, I mean, that's the key to, you know, this segment of our business that we have today, this, you know, the curbside, you know, carry out home delivery, you know, but there should be a number of precautions that should be taken in this, at this time. Number one, you know, one of the things that I would suggest would be a limited menu that you could then produce and execute extremely well with the staff that you have on, you know, in-house. You know, and what travels the best? You know, you've got to look at packaging that you've got today. There may be some things that we may have to look at, the revamping of packaging or some way that it can be sealed so we know that it's not been tampered with. But, you know, yeah, it's these products that we really have to make sure that they can be, you know, served to our customer. And yet it's still going to maintain the quality that your restaurant was well known for. I look at, you know, I have concerns when it comes into deliveries. You know, my thing is I'd always, if you've got an opportunity that you could use your own staff for delivery, that to me would be extremely, extremely good. Because then you know the individuals that are picking up and delivering the food, and you know that you may not know who it might be if you use another vehicle of delivery or another opportunity with delivery. But one of the things that I always like too is if you're sealing up a bag, I would then take a logo, you know, a logo seal of some sort that could be placed over the closure of the bag. And if it were, the seal were broken, and you would then communicate that to your customer base when it comes in. If that seal were broken, that product should then be rejected, because you don't know, it was probably in some instances maybe an accident, or it could have been tampered with.
Yeah, in essence, creating a tamper-proof label, right?
A tamper-proof label. And this is a good time. I mean, you can make it logo, you can have an opportunity as a coupon on there that they could reuse it again, something that could generate another opportunity of sales for your restaurants. Because, I mean, you know, we look at some of these other drivers that may be used out of the ones that you know, how well were they vetted? You know, do we know that they are healthy enough to do it? Are their vehicles clean enough to be able to serve these products? So that's why I'm always one, if you're, you know, at this time, it's another great opportunity to put some of your employees to work if they could be, you know, your drivers too. But those are the things that, you know, that I, you know, really look at. And then, you know, for your drivers too, is to making sure that insurances are, you know, up to par, you know, making sure that the vehicle is being used for a business. Because there's a number of things that one has to look at, you know, when we go into delivery. But, you know, it's making sure that the menu that you're going to be served will travel well and it will ensure the quality that you have been that you have established over the years.
That makes perfect sense, and it, you know, ties beautifully back into the restaurant when the restaurants reopen and things go back to whatever becomes our new normal.
Yes, yeah, very much so.
And we're gonna touch on the new normal a little bit later when you know, we get a little closer to the end of our time here. You know, some other things that I definitely feel like you should be brought out on the table are, you know, there's a lot of restaurants looking for, you know, ways to increase or way to extend their revenue, business owners trying to figure that out. And one of the more impressive or some of the more creative solutions I've seen, you know, there's people who are putting up online auctions with, you know, chef cooked dinners in people's homes once things get back to whatever semblance of lies in the future, or gift cards with incentives. I think I saw one the other day that for every dollar somebody bought now, they were adding an additional 25 cents in value to that gift card. And just as a way to continue to bring revenues in. And I think that was something that was happening at Spoon and Stable up in, where's that, Minnesota or Wisconsin. And really just to continue to bring in money to put it into the employee fund so that he could continue to pay benefits, and just being really, really creative. I'm actually really impressed at how creative the industry's been in trying to find ways to support their staff and trying to find ways to stay open or to pay bills. And, you know, there are other ways. I saw a GoFundMe page the other day, where, you know, they were trying to recover whatever funds they could to, you know, to move into a delivery type business. You know, I guess it was, you know, a struggling restaurant and they were trying to get the resources to move in that direction. But at the same tone, there's a first responder fund right now that I think has already recovered about $7 million on a GoFundMe website. And they're seeing, you know, great resources come together. And if you're a pillar of your community, you know, you might find some serious, what's the word I'm looking for? If you're a pillar of your community, you might see your community backing you and making sure that you open back up. And then finally, the other thing that I think I've really been impressed by is companies revisiting their models. You know, you've got companies like the Chef's Garden who are known for specialty produce and dealing specifically only with restaurants and very mild home, you know, home application. Now has totally remodeled their business to offer, Chef Hall, correct me if I'm wrong, what, 6 or 7 different boxes?
Yeah, I know. I just got a box from Chef's Garden this past week. They have 4 different options, and then for some of them, they have different size options available too, as far as Chef's Garden goes, of a variety of different produce. So they have them organized by anti-aging, detoxifying, etc. But even the small box is between 12 to 15 pounds of fresh vegetables that, you know, the home cook didn't really have that much access to prior. And that also includes, their prices on the website also include free shipping. So you're getting those boxes overnighted to you with vegetables that just came out of the earth. You know, and had low points of contact, which is the most important thing that I think we'll talk about through this once we get into some of the sanitation, delivered straight to your door. So you don't have to go out and search for it. I know in my area currently, it is very hard to find fresh produce. Proteins are pretty much wiped out on a weekly basis. Luckily, we stocked up on some of those things in advance and are using some of these, you know, these farms and places that we used to shop for as specialty items for work now being delivered home. So we know we're getting a whole chicken. We can extend that through making stock, which turns into soup. We can braise the legs, you know, take the breasts, and, you know, really create three or four meals out of one thing if we shop smart. And so it's a great way to have low contact with, you know, going out and searching for these things and maybe having to hit two or three different grocery stores in order to find what you want, which is definitely the case where I live. And here, don't have to even leave home and have it show up on your door fresh and overnighted. So it's a great ability to have some of these larger companies that were, and D'Artagnan is another one. I got an email from them today that they're doing the exact same thing. So you can have this stuff sent to your home with low or no shipping charge whatsoever. And, you know, best thing is low or no contact with, you know, potentially contaminated areas.
And
some of the restaurants could utilize that, you know, rather than going to your home, could be utilizing that to, you know, supply their restaurants too, so that, you know, you've got another opportunity to you know, support some of our suppliers that are, you know, they're in the same boat that we're in, you know, because of, you know, the produce that's been produced. So you're thinking that if, you know, we had restaurants that were open, that we're going to be able to utilize all this produce. Now, all of a sudden,
they got nowhere to send it. Yeah.
They have no place to go. So it's going to create, you know, some opportunities for us, you know, and we mentioned it earlier, you know, when we open up, how is our suppliers going to take care of all of us at the same time? You know, that's, you know, here again, is there produce that's grown enough to take that support when everybody's going to be using it, utilizing it all at the same time. So it's going to be an interesting turn of events when that occurs.
Yeah, can the market support a million cases of broccoli being ordered on a Monday? You know,
yeah.
And that's the short supply of it. When you get into proteins and all the other high dollar items that everyone needs to survive, you know, do we need to think about smaller menus on the other side? It would definitely cut down the prep time to get an operation up and running, starting off slow and then gradually moving back into what you had, as opposed to opening the floodgates. But, you know, that may very well become the necessary steps in order to move forward on the other side of this. There's a country club here where I live, Hammock Dunes Club, which I actually was the chef at 10 plus years ago. And Lance Cook is the executive chef there now. He's turned his club not only into a grab and go, but also that's their grocery store. So he's ordering in bulk and then having his cooks package the groceries for the membership. They send in their order 48 hours in advance. That gives him time to fill the orders with his purveyors, and then the members are able to come by the club and pick up curbside their groceries, as opposed to keeping them, you know, going to the grocery store and trying to find things. He's more readily able to source in bulk and provide those products. And again, it comes down to lots of low contact. There's now only, you know, a handful of people touching that, as opposed to the stock boys and people who are browsing through the grocery store, picking something up, putting something down. Those are the things we need to be thinking about.
Well, and to piggyback right on top of that, it makes me think of, I think the country club is, it's Myers Park. And I know country clubs often have resources available that a lot of small restaurants don't. But they've also connected with a lot of local farms, and they're doing the same kind of concept, and they've created this central commissary for a lot of local farms that otherwise would be losing their produce right now. And they're creating boxes for purchase by the membership. So, you know, it's all non-contact, right? You know, country clubs have a lot of those systems in line where it's a member number exchange. The member, and I think there's like a one layer out, so it's a member or a friend or a connection from a member can email in their order, and then it's a pickup, right? So somebody goes and sets it on a table, walks away from the table, and then they can, you know, come and pick up their box that's serving as a grocery store, eliminating points of contact and you know, even taking it one step further, we're making sure that there's no money changing hands or no credit card changing hands either. And I know that was something that we were speaking about a little bit earlier. Talk a little bit further on that one, Chef.
Well, I, you know, one of the things with the credit cards, you know, I think the least that we can touch a card that, that belongs to a, you know, patron, a customer, is extremely important. I know that I just got a new American Express, and it's all touch. It's just like Apple Pay. So I think these are the things that, you know, when we, you know, start to get back, that, you know, our credit card companies are going to have to think about, you know, what we can do without taking something away from a customer and then taking it away and then bringing it back. And you don't know where it's been or whatever the case may be. So, but I think that that is something that, you know, we've got to keep that social distance that we've been working about, the safe distance, and at the least amount of contact that we can have with things that belong to a customer, the better off it's going to be. You know, one of the things we mentioned earlier are some of the menus that would, you know, I'm looking at the onset that could be coming up in the future. I really see many restaurants printing their own menus. And the reason why I say that, you know, disposable, because right now, you know, I see all these big laminated menus, you know, just take, you know, some of the large restaurants, you know, Cheesecake Factory for one, that multi-page menu, to take and re-sanitize that whole thing is going to be a labor issue to do that. And that's where I'm thinking in some instances, you know, there's going to have printers in the restaurants that they could then print off the menu, and then it's then disposable. So I think these are things that we're going to be looking at as to what the future is going to have for us. You know, and one of the things that we're looking at too, that, you know, we owe our employees, but we also owe our customers or our end users too, is our employees, are the employees been vetted to the point, are they healthy enough to, you know, to work? I think, you know, right now, you know, taking temperatures. I mean, we saw thermal imaging being used in other countries. But I think right now, I'll give you a good example. In Florida, the National Guard, is anybody coming out of New York, is actually their temperatures are being taken to make sure that they are going to get back over to where they have to go and quarantine themselves for 14 days. So I think that what we've got to look at is, you know, temperatures, and then maybe that temperature, if it's, if they're under 98 degrees or 99 degrees, they're good. If it's 99 and above, then that's a question. So, but we have to ensure that our employees are ready and healthy enough to work. And, you know, in some instances, have they been tested for the virus, which is, you know, very good for us to have that knowledge. But I'm very impressed as to what our medical business is doing today, and just coming out with these quick tests that are going to be, they say they're all as good as, you know, the nasal swab that's being taken place with, you know, that they're using today. The other thing that concerns me too, that, and I know that's going to have to be changed, is I'm really one for not allowing uniforms to come off of out of the street and then into the restaurant. My thing is to be worn. So my thing is, you know, it's a change of clothes or a uniform in the restaurant, so we know that it's protected enough and it hasn't been to it hasn't been exposed. You look at, you know, the subways, you know, I look at the poor people who are on that subways, you know, the social distancing that we're supposed to be utilizing today is not being held on a subway at all. So that's why I'm coming from where I really feel that the uniform should not be part of something that's worn out onto the streets.
Absolutely. Those are all great points that we need to think about. And that's things that should be implemented currently around the country in every operation that's still up and running. you know, really there's not a way to be sanitary enough. You know, you think that the mailman, for instance, is touching every one of our mailboxes, and how many people have touched their mailbox. You know, we have to think about the extreme measures that we need to take going forward and during this pandemic to make sure that if you're serving food, you are going above and beyond to make sure that that isn't being transferred. And so, to Chef's point about uniforms, if you bump shoulders with someone and they sneeze prior to you bumping shoulders with them, you could be carrying the virus into your establishment. So while some of that may seem extreme, those are the measures that we're going to have to adapt to currently, and especially on the other side of this. It's going to be something that we all need to follow and put those protocols in place now. For the other side of this, you know, there's talk of a second wave of this happening in other countries. Could that happen here? You know, if that's the case, then we cannot be too careful to make sure that we cut those points of contact down to as close to zero, you know, as possible.
Oh, I agree, Chef, 100%. I mean, another thing that we're looking at, too, is let's say that we have cooks that are in the restaurants. And, you know, my thing that we would have to do is, you know, some type of labeling system that we would have here. And I just, you know, I have a steam table pan, you know, that I've just filled with a 4-inch pan with sliced tomatoes. Basically, what I would do in a case like that is then my name would go on it, the amount of tomatoes that were in there, the date that they were done, and everything else. And the reason for that, just in case, you know, God forbid that anyone did become sick, that we then have it labeled and knowing that he was an individual that had that, and that should then be called out of our lineup of items to be used, and then, you know, replenished by another prep cook or whatever. But we've got, you know, we've got to do these little things. They may seem little, but they're big. If someone, you do not want to be responsible for being a carrier to cause our customers to be sick. And I think those are the things that we're going to definitely have to put some type of controls in. The other thing, too, is our hand washing. We may have to have more hand washing or sanitation, the Purell or the hand sanitizers that are going to be then placed around in different stations and, you know, in the kitchens, you know, more so than we've had in the past. You know, I've been to a restaurant and I thought it was kind of funny when I first saw it. They actually had a hand washing area in the dining room where guests went up so that they didn't have to go to the restroom. It was something that was right there that they could wash their hands. And, you know, I thought that was something that was really, you know, out of the ordinary. It was down in Florida where I saw it. And I said, well, you know, right now, oh, this would be the greatest thing going. Mm-hmm, you know, absolutely. That you had that, you know, it's a station where they could go and wash their hands. Or there's a hand sanitizer or whatever the case may be. These are the things that we're going to have to look at. The other thing is when we come up for that next thing, too, is, you know, how we're going to sanitize the tables. And I know that could, you know, there's a number of things. Like, you know, just one point that I say that we've got to think about that's going to go away. And maybe in the restaurants now when we're looking at prep areas, that sanitizing bucket with that reusable rag, that's seen its day. I really feel that where we're leading for today is going to be reused or disposable sanitary wipes, or then they could be used, and you know, when you wipe it down, it's not done in a circular motion, it's all in one motion, one direction, and it's cleaning the surface, and then that towel is then disposed of. So it's not, you know, we're not using a contaminated towel going from table to table to table. And I think those are the things that we're really going to have to look at, but that can be employed into, you know, what we're doing in the restaurants today when you're opened up for curbside or home delivery, that you've got these sanitation type towelettes that can be then used to clean the areas. And then you know that you're constantly, you know, cleaning and at a place where I can sanitize my hands and wash my hands for, you know, the old 20 seconds or sing happy birthday, whatever the case may be.
And if ever there was a time to really hone in on best practices of sanitation, this is absolutely the time to do that. And a lot of the things I think we're talking about, and definitely some of the things you addressed, Chef, I think are, you know, little extensions beyond what sanitation we know. And I believe probably the biggest part of that is now going back to that strong enforcement of making sure that our employees are doing what they're supposed to be doing so that we're not putting anybody in jeopardy or we're not potentially harming or potentially endangering anyone.
Correct. I mean, and that's, you know, it's just the common practices that we've got to, you know, we need and we must employ. You know, here's another thing when we're starting to receive product in the restaurants, especially these restaurants that are opened up right now, one of the biggest carriers are cardboard. So, you know, one of the things that I would do is, you know, I had an area that once it was received, it was taken from its cardboard, it was placed into a Cambro, and this could be produce, placed into a Cambro, and then taken to be washed, and then put into a clean Cambro, and then under refrigeration. I got rid of the boxes as quickly as possible. And now it's even more so that the shippers are, you know, possibility of being one of the carriers. So it's just thinking about these little things that we then have to do. But one most important thing that we've got to look at, you know, because of my time in, you know, large restaurants, restaurant chains, that label that's on that shipper box is extremely important. Just in case there has to be a recall of something, you need that information that's on there. So I tried, what I always used to do is take pictures of the, you know, the label, and I would attach it to the invoice so that I know this is when I got it, this is where it is, and here's all the background information that goes along with it. So that I know it was going to be, if a recall came about, I had all the necessary information to convey to my vendor and say, this is what I've got. And then it also helps us to promote first in, first out. FIFO, you know, it's something that we always said that had to be done. And I think this is just going to make it more evident. And here again, if I cannot emphasize it more, is more hand washing areas and sanitation that's accessible to all of our employees.
Absolutely. To jump in on the receiving of things, you know, that almost now turns into a 2 to 3 person project. If one person is handling the cardboard and is handling the exterior, you almost need someone next to them with other gloves, pulling the product from the box. So you have one person who's responsible for the shell, which is the most potentially contaminated. A second person pulling product and putting it into something, but then a third person is going to sanitize the exteriors of it. And you can't be too careful. This can live on those surfaces. And as Chef said, cardboard is very susceptible to it. So it becomes, you know, just the receiving of goods now becomes, you know, a 3-step or 3-person process to ensure that that is not being transferred from the guy bringing it in from the back dock, pulling the cardboard box open, and then reaching in to grab that gallon of olive oil. Well, guess what? Now the olive oil definitely has whatever was on the cardboard. So you can't be too careful here.
It is. I mean, you know, there are so many things that we've got to look at. Ware washing is another one. You know, I'm looking at that person that's been loading the dishwasher, now cannot be the person unloading the dishwasher. You know, because, you know, it's in many cases they have only one dishwasher that's there. But then that means that individual would have to change uniforms to go and then unload the dishwasher, technically, if we wanted to really get into it.
Absolutely, because if he's spraying the plates of food that someone just ate off of, you can't tell me that water droplets aren't ricocheting off that plate and then onto his clothes. Okay. So you have to have one person who's handling the most you know, dense possibility of contamination, and then another person receiving it all and putting it away and keeping those two people completely apart from each other. And the person who's handling the worst of it needs to be, for his or her own safety, you know, wearing a mask, wearing gloves, and changing out of that uniform, you know, every half an hour, every hour, to really protect your employee. You know, it's a lot of things that need to be talked about and really need to sink into everybody of, you know, you cannot be too careful, and that, you know, you're putting your, that employee is at risk by handling silverware, glassware, any food that someone ate off of, you know, they're on the front line of it.
Well, and just to tie into that is, you know, remarkable times call for remarkable measures. And if ever there was a remarkable time, I would say this is it. This to me is our generation's where were you when moment. And, yes. You know, with what you're saying, Chef Hall, about our warewasher or our receivers, they are really our first line of defense as we're trying to maintain the wholesomeness of the product into the mouths of our guests. And exactly. If ever there was a time for, what's the word I'm looking for? Obsessiveness, compulsiveness, you know, overdoing the sanitation or the cleanliness. I don't think you can really overdo that at this particular point in time, because literally it's a true hazard.
Yes. But, you know, chefs, one of the things that's going to happen now is that the whole state of the tabletop is going to change. Number one, you've got to look at, as I mentioned earlier, a non-reusable menu. Reusable menus are out. They're going to have to print their own in-house, something that can be disposed of. But now let's look at the cleaning of the tabletops. They've got to have the sanitary wipes that we talked about earlier. But then in some instances that we may be using a butcher paper over the top to help to protect it, a layer of protection that could be there. Then you look, that can be disposed of right after it's been used, and then it's wiped down with a sanitary wipe. But then look at salt and pepper shakers are no longer going to be on the table. Ketchup, no longer on the table. Everything is going to be in ramekins. You know, one of the solutions to salt and pepper are going to be mills, salt and pepper mills that can be brought by a server to the table and then ground for the customer and then taken back, because they cannot have any touch, any contact with those particular pieces of equipment, because then you're going to be, you know, sanitizing them too. But then that means that server, you know, and I look at servers and busboys after they clear a table. And I just noticed that, you know, 3 weeks ago when all this was starting to, you know, rise and bubble up, when they clean the table, they don't go wash their hands or sanitize their hands. So these are the things that we're going to have. That's got to be a step that's in it. If it's a busboy that's cleaning the hand or cleaning the tables of used dishes, they've got to clean their hands. If it's a server, a manager, anyone that takes a used dish from off of the table, they must go through a sanitation procedure on their hands. So, I mean, yes, we are just, it's totally going to change, you know, of how we then handle, you know, ramekins are going to be coming back and being used more, you know, the portioning. The other thing that we're looking at too are buffets. Buffets that we know them are now going to be all served. There's no longer any more self-served buffets, you know, and, you know, I know I've been, you know, working with the individuals at St. Jude, and that was, they had a self-serve that was, you know, in their operation that's now turned all the way around, and it now becomes a served product. So these are the things that we're going to have to look at and be aware of, that this is going to be something that we're going to have to be aware of in the future.
yeah, it's absolutely something that's going to have to be solved and thought about now for the other side of things. And you think about all the buffets that are out there, and that everybody does buffets for brunch and other things, and how many hands have touched the handle of that utensil prior to you, and where were they? What did they do? Did they use the restroom? Were they, you know, in another country that had a density of this or any other issue?
Yeah,
and so all that now comes under the microscope, because those are the points of contact that can transfer this virus and many other things, person to person, and be the silent, you know, the silent killer. And now is a better time than any to start planning for these things for the future, and coming up with new creative ways in order to, you know, serve the masses. But these things will definitely have to go away. They'll definitely be more closely monitored by health officials, and needs to be the sole responsibility of the chef, managers, and owners of food service establishments, because that's where you have the most points of transferable contact. And it's going to have to be a big focus going forward for sure.
Well, I was going to say, from a conversation that we had earlier, it seems to me that we're going to need a directive of some sort to come together and I hate to use the concept of policing ourselves, but to basically create the standard before it's dictated or handed to us as restaurateurs, as business owners, and as people, as professionals in the food service business. And I really think that it's really key and critical to get out in front of this, as there's a lot of health departments who are currently, or who were prior to this, overwhelmed, I would say, with, you know, with the amount of restaurants that they're reviewing, and even with catching up to, you know, federal code. What are your thoughts on that, Chef Seda?
Well, here's one, you know, and that's where I'm really coming across, that we've got to, and I'm really happy that we're doing this right now, because we want to set the direction as to where we've got to go. And in some instances, we know what goes on in a restaurant. Sometimes when we come out with some of the, you know, the agencies that are out there that, you know, govern the, you know, the sanitation and health of a restaurant, the Board of Health, you know, they don't have the experience that we have knowing what has to be done. You know, we do know what we need to do. And I'd say that we can get in there and then start to set the precedent as to what has to be done, making our fellow chefs aware of what needs to be looked at now and getting ready for when we open. You know, Chef Paul, you mentioned earlier, I mean, when it comes to a supplier, is the supplier going to be ready for us to do all this produce and all the meats and everything else? The same thing's going to hold true for, you know, all these little things that we've just been talking about. You know, salt and pepper shakers are going to be gone. What are we going to use to supply? Do we have enough pepper mills and salt mills that would be able to be going into the restaurants so that they could be used? So, I mean, all these little things that are just starting to pile up, and that's why I'm really happy that we're doing this now, just to make everybody aware, get ready. Because if you're going to be in business, these are some of the things that are going to down the pipe that we can use the expertise that we have. And of all the other members of AMCO, the American Master Chefs, and I look at the amount of experience that these individuals have, that we can then together as a group can come up with some all facets of the business. You know, I've been in large restaurant chains. Jason, you've been with, large equipment companies. And now we really understand what has to be done that we can then communicate to, you know, our fellow chefs.
So as we're coming down to the end of our list of things that we're going to talk about today, I definitely see the necessity to do this again, and I look forward to doing it again. What are, Chef Hall, three or four key takeaways that you think today, or that you would recommend today acting on for anybody who might be listening?
Sure. So first thing is, if you're currently serving food, make sure that you have some of these practices in place that we've mentioned. You know, I've been hesitant personally to order any curbside to go, et cetera, because I don't know that, that many places, at least in my area, are, that sanitary to begin with, to be honest. You know, and I would be surprised if they are utilizing something like, you know, two people to open a box to ensure that the cardboard isn't coming in contact with the food inside and then living on that through the process. So, my first suggestion would be to please consider some of the sanitation, things that we've discussed here, and if you're currently operating. If you're not, you know, now's the time to start building that plan going forward, and what is it going to look like on the other side? Secondly, I would encourage those who are not open, and even those that are, what's your menu going to look like on the other side of this? You know, is it something that you can open slowly? Can you, you know, to put a less large impact on the support of our distributors on the other side, is it something you can open small and then grow back into what you had? Because inevitably, supply is going to be a problem with the demand. And then I think third is the retraining of staff. You know, now's the time to think about that too. If you had to let some of your staff go, if you had to let all of your staff go, God forbid that's not the case, that you're able to retain some of those, you know, those cornerstone employees, because you're going to need them on the other side. We can't afford to have, and owners and operators can't afford to have their place come back online and then have to retrain the entire staff from zero. So if there's a way to keep some of those key people employed, if there's a way to utilize them at home to start planning for these things going forward and putting standard operating procedures, receiving practices, menus that are low impact in the beginning that can grow back into what you had in place, I think those are the things, and this is the time to focus on those opportunities.
Chef Seda?
Well, you know, one of the things that I look at is, you know, I want to go out, you know, we just discussed the, you know, the back of the house or the heart of the house. But one of the things we got to look in the dining rooms too, is to making sure that our servers are cognizant of, you know, making sure that their hands are kept clean and there's, you know, the least amount of contact with the customer as possible. You know, here again, getting with our, credit card companies to come up with something that, you know, it's like Apple Play, Apple Pay, you know, something that it's just touched and then we can go ahead and it's accomplished. The other thing we're looking at too is how we're going to take care of that tabletop. You know, is it going to be, we've got to have those sanitation wipes that are going to be there that we can utilize, you know, the tables. The other thing you've got to think, it's not only the tables, it's the chairs too, as to what has been touched. So it's that whole area that has come in contact with a customer that has to be thought of about how it's going to be prepared for the next customer to utilize that particular station. You know, anything that's on the table right now, that's all going to have to be going away. We cannot have, you know, your sauces on the table. You can't have salt and peppers on the table because these are all areas and surfaces that will then allow that virus to live for a period of time. And then always emphasizing to the servers, busboys, managers, after they have cleared a table, they immediately go to a sanitation station or they go to hand washings to take care of it. So, you know, those are the things that I really feel that we want to make our customers feel better about what we're doing. And I, you know, maybe years, you know, maybe a month ago, if I did all these things, they'd ask like, you guys are crazy. What are you doing all this? I think they will be very, very appreciative of the things that we're going to be doing to make sure that we want to assure their safety and enjoy the, you know, the meal that they're going to be consuming. And then it's also safe that we've done everything we possibly can to assure that safety with the food that they're going to have.
Very well said. For me, I definitely think that, you know, sanitation is of utmost importance, and it really starts at the back dock. I think it goes a step further too. I guess my key takeaway is I would want to remind chefs and owners to communicate and ask for help on a much simpler level. You know, if they need help or they're stuck or they don't have an idea or they need ideas, remember that there's a whole community out there of support for them, and to utilize each other and to utilize the teams that they have. And then the other side of that is I'm a hope guy. You know, I know this is going to pass and this is going to end at some point. It will end and there will be a new normal. And in the meantime, it's just a matter of getting through the rocky seas and learning how to, you know, to manipulate and manage the business to make it work. Well, doing what we do best, which is, you know, the business of hospitality. And I couldn't be more grateful to be a part of any more industry than being in hospitality, because quite honestly, at the core of what we do, we take care of people, we take care of each other, and our job is to serve.
Very well said.
Very, very well said. And because I totally agree, you know, this is going to be something that once it becomes part of a system, it's going to be easily accepted. You know, human nature is anything that we don't totally understand, we don't like. And then once they start to get the understanding, and this, and I think, Chef Hall, you mentioned it earlier, that the training that has to take place in this too, because we've got to train these individuals and making sure that they're ready, you know, for this change that's going to come in. We just got, the training is going to be extremely important. And, you know, and it's putting it all together, documenting it. And then it's not only the training that's got to take place, it's the constant follow-up that has to be initiated into the restaurants. You know, to tell them to do something, and if you don't follow it up, it's not going to be done. So it's that training and follow-up. It's going to be the necessary to make sure that this is going to function and function well.
And if I'm hearing you from an opportunistic standpoint, it sounds to me like there's going to be a lot of business opportunity for open-minded individuals on the other side of this, or even leading into it.
Without a doubt. Our individuals, I mean, it's just remarkable that many of, you know, knowing a great number of the master chefs, you know, it's the expertise that they have and the wisdom that they could give to everyone and understanding and giving them a reasons why they've got to do it. And then it's nothing that's just pulled out of, just pulled out of the air. This is well-founded information, and this is what they'll need to know to make sure that they can make their restaurants better and the safety of not only their customers, but also the safety of their employees, which is extremely important. Without my employees, I wasn't able to do a thing, because you can't do it all by yourself. So that's why we want to make sure that we are keeping them safe also.
On behalf of AMCO, I would like to thank everyone for listening today to this first podcast. This will be an ongoing series going forward. If you heard any topics today that you would like us to expand upon on a future episode, please feel free to contact us with questions or topics. You can reach us at podcast@AmericanMasterChefsOrder.org. Thank you.